The Great Salt Lake is shrinking, and we only have ourselves to blame. That's the message of a new white paper released by Utah State University last week. The water level of the Great Salt Lake is constantly fluctuating, both seasonally and from year to year as we cycle through periods of wet and dry. But that's all just background noise to a distinct drying up trend over the past 150 years. Craig Miller, an engineer with the Utah Division of Water Resources, created a virtual model of the Great Salt Lake for the paper, a hypothetical version of what the lake would look like today if we hadn't been drawing it down since the days of the state's pioneers.
To determine the natural Great Salt Lake levels, we started with the lake levels in 1847. And continue to add flows to the virtual lake equal to the amount of human depletions estimated for that year.
After adding that water back to the lake year by year, the virtual untouched Great Salt Lake is 11 feet higher than the lake that's actually sitting out there right now at one of its lowest levels in modern history. I asked Craig Miller to translate that into volume for me.
So today's volume is about 9 million acre feet. And at 4204.5, the lake's volume would be 19,777,129 acre feet.
So 9 million to 19 million.
Right.
So 50%, basically.
Yeah.
Close to.
It would be, the volume would be close to double.
So what do we learn from thinking about what the lake would look like without human interference?
Well, in order to figure out the impact of humans, you first have to figure out what the lake would look like if we weren't here. And haven't you always wondered what the lake would be like without humans here?
I mean, I have.
Yeah, I have. This was a really fun project because it answered a lot of questions that I've always had.
But more than a fun math problem, this paper has some very real warnings. Climate reconstructions have shown that there hasn't been any dramatic decrease in natural water supply to the Great Salt Lake over the past century and a half. So the lake is half the size it's supposed to be solely because we've used that water on our lawns and fields in evaporation ponds instead. A dried-up salt lake would spell dangerous dust storms for the Wasatch Front and dry up over $1 billion in annual income to the state. It would also be disastrous for millions of migratory birds. But if you're not a birder or a brine shrimper, why would you care that half of the lake is dried up?
I think a lot of Utahns benefit from the lake without even knowing it.
Josh Palmer is the spokesperson for the Utah Division of Water Resources.
Someone may not think a lot about the Great Salt Lake, but they love skiing and snowboarding in Utah. Well, the lake effect has a positive effect on our snowpack. So if you love powder, you should care about the Great Salt Lake. So some may not think about the Great Salt Lake itself, but they love the variety of birds and other wildlife we enjoy seeing around the lake. So if you care about wildlife, you should care about the Great Salt Lake. And some people don't think about the Great Salt Lake, but they care about Utah's economy. Well, the lake contributes a lot via recreation, brine shrimp, mineral extraction to Utah's economy. So if you care about the economy, you should care about the lake.
On the day that this white paper on the Great Salt Lake was released, Senate Bill 80 was heard by the Utah House Revenue and Taxation Committee. This is a bill that would take tax dollars currently reserved for transportation projects and set it aside instead for water infrastructure projects, three projects specifically, one of which would divert more water out of the Bear River so that even less of it reaches the Great Salt Lake.
And it would be used as part of a solution to help meet the needs of a growing population. The water from Utah's allocation was once projected to be needed in 2015, but due to conservation, agricultural conversions, and other efficiency projects, it's now not projected to be needed until 2040 or beyond.
The Bear River Development Project is estimated to decrease the lake level by another 8.5 inches. Senate Bill 80 passed out of the House Taxation Committee and several committees before that. It's on its way to a floor vote, and if it passes, there will be a fund with a couple $100 million in it, earmarked for developing the Bear River. If we can hypothesize a lake without humans, we can hypothesize a Utah without politics. So SB 80 aside and the Bear River Development Project aside, is there anything that we can do to help turn this downward trend of the lake around?
We hope this starts a conversation in areas that maybe they haven't had a conversation before. And we hope that skier or that person who really cares about the economy or that person who really cares about the wildlife on the lake will not only look into what's happening with the lake, but look into how how they can be part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you have to care about the lake first, right?
How do we tie it to things that people already care about? I mean, I grew up in Syracuse, and I used to be able to ride my bike to the Great Salt Lake. So I innately, because it's kind of part of where I grew up, I care about the lake. However, there's people who the only thing that they hear about is some smell or brine flies or something like that. And they don't understand that a lot of the things that they already care about are better because of the lake.
Josh Palmer from the Utah Division of Water Resources. We also heard from engineer Craig Miller. For The Source, I'm Jennifer Pemberton in Logan.